Well, have you turn to Matthew chapter 9, a familiar passage to you. As Pastor said, New Zealand is it's not an easy place to minister in. I think that that's the case pretty much around the world these days, that a lot of places are becoming very hard to minister in. And New Zealand, the latest census, 55% of the people claim to be atheist. The fastest growing religion is, we have Islam is the fastest growing religion in the country. It's interesting to me. I was watching, there's always the debate on translation issue with the Bible. And I'm King James is what I use. And so there's always this debate going on, but it was interesting to me. I watched these guys trying to convert people over to Islam, and they're in a tent and they're talking to these group of people, and they're telling them, look, Christians don't even know what they believe. And they've dropped five Bibles on there, all different translations, tells them all to turn to a passage, all the same passage, and have them all read. And they're like, look, the Quran, or the Quran is inspired, infallible, preserved, word of Allah. And it's like, wow, they use the same kind of verbiage we use. And then they're putting all these Bibles up there, though, saying, oh, you read this, and then none of them make sense. He said, see, they don't even know what they believe. I thought, boy, that's sad. That's very sad. But this is what we deal with in New Zealand. You know, really, as we stated, you know, a lot of the kids, I shared this with the students today in the school, you know, these young people that we have coming to church right now, you think in your Bible about all the stories in the Bible that your kids learn, you know, Jonah, Noah, David and Goliath, Adam and Eve, creation, Jesus coming and dying on Calvary and rising from the grave again. And they learn all these things. These kids have no idea about any of these things. Nothing. Do you know who Jesus is? They don't know who Jesus is. They'll tell you no. They never heard of Jesus. They never heard of David and Goliath. They have no idea Moses parted the Red Sea. Well, God parted the Red Sea, but God allowed Moses to part the Red Sea. But, you know, they have no idea about those things. And so when we're teaching these kids, it's like Ashton, when Don had Ashton in class, and we were talking about Ashton, and he would sit right on the edge of his seat, and he's just sucking it all in. Because he's so taken by all of these stories in the Bible, and he's like, are these things true? Yes, they're true. And, you know, it's our privilege to be able to be there and to share with these young people and the adults what God's done for them through Jesus Christ on Calvary. And, you know, it's a blessing to see how the God's working in the hearts of these young people right now. And I'm just talking to my coworker today because they had an activity on Saturday, and those that went up to the teen activity on Saturday, it was a blessing to hear about those that went up. But we'd ask you to continue to pray for us there in Masterton and for the people to be open and receptive and to the gospel there. And I'll probably share a little bit more about my neighborhood as we get into this message today. But here I want to take and read just a few verses here in Matthew chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 35. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray as we begin tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time that we could come together this evening. Father, I know many have come from work tonight, busy days, and students here. And Father, but I pray that you just calm our hearts and our minds. And Father, I pray that we be attentive to your word this evening and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives this evening. Father, I pray that you would be with the church as they turn in commitment cards for missions, what they're going to do for missions this year. Father, I pray that you would show each one what you would have them to do this year in reaching the world with the gospel. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, this evening I have a simple outline, and I'll give you all 4 points right now, and then we'll go back through these. You know, the title of the message is Missionary Involvement. And we become involved by looking. We become involved by loving. We become involved by longing. And when we say longing, we're talking about longing in prayer. And we become involved by leaving. And this is how we become involved in missions. But we become involved by looking, first of all. You ever, you know, when I was a teenager, it seems like a lifetime ago, but when I was a teenager, you know, we used to sit and we'd watch TV, and there'd be different ads that come on TV, and some of you will remember these things that they put on, and they'd show starving children in Ethiopia or kids that have parasites in their stomach or they're swollen, and they're putting that on TV and then giving you an 800 number to call and trying to get you to give money to help these starving malnutrition children in Ethiopia. But why did they do that? Because they knew that what you saw would stir you in your heart to do something about it. You know, the verse in Lamentations 3:51, it says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." You know, there's a reason that you look and they put that on TV and you'd look and see that and then you were moved to do something. You know, in Christianity today, we need to get our eyes off of the things in the world and, you know, off of our, when I say in the world, you know, what you find your people doing often is this thing right here, their face is glued to this all day long. You know, you drive around, we'll set in the airport, we'll go, you know, wherever we're at, I kind of do a little bit of people watching, I tend to look around, and, you know, it's constantly people have their face in their phone. When you got your face buried in the phone all day long, you never see what's going on in the world. You never look to see people. You never look, and you know, we tend to forget there's other people around us. You know, David Livingston's father-in-law was Robert Moffat. He said this, "I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no one has ever heard the name of Christ." You know, as he looked around and he saw that smoke rising up, he saw that and his mind went to the fact that there are people that have never heard about Jesus Christ living in those villages that need to know about Jesus. And the reason that he saw that smoke and it made him think of the need, and, you know, but when we got our face buried in our phones, we never look at people, we never see the need, we don't, you know, when we got accepted with BIMI as missionaries, and we went on a survey trip, I guess we'll call it. We went on a trip to New Zealand to see if that's where God would have us to go. When we were getting ready for that trip, the people that were kind of prepping us for that said, you know, take your camera, take pictures of people, you know. Just sit on a park bench, take pictures. And we took that advice, and we sit down, and we would take pictures of people's faces. You know, and sometimes it was kind of odd doing that, but, you know, that's what we did. Especially when it wasn't the phone where you can pretend like you're doing something. You know, you got the camera with the long lens and you're like, yeah. But, you know, we're going around taking pictures of people and their faces. You know, when you look at people today and you look at their faces as they're in the shopping market or in the parking lot or at the doctor's office, you know, I see hurting people. I see people that are in despair and lost. What is their future going to be? I mean, you could, as you watch people, these are all the thoughts that go through my head as I look at their faces and think, man, it looks like they have no hope. They don't know about tomorrow. But many times we don't take the time to look. Can I encourage you tonight to take the time to look around? You know, tomorrow, as you start a new day tomorrow, watch people. Drive down the road. As we're driving here tonight, and I know it looks like there's a number of people that live on the street around here, and you can see on their faces a hopelessness. And you see it. And what they need is Jesus. And I know some of them, that, you know, you may say, well, they're mentally not there, they'd never understand. But that's not ours to judge. That's between them and the Lord. It's our job to give them the gospel. and to share with them what Jesus has done for them on Calvary. But we have to look and see the need. You know, I shared in our own community, we've been in this house since we moved back to New Zealand in 2017. My wife told me as we were leaving New Zealand, coming back, or right after we got here, I can't remember the time, but she said, you know, that house that we're living in right now is the longest we've ever stayed in one place. And it's 7 years we've been there. I know some of you probably been in your house for 70 years. We've been there for 7 years in that one place, and God put us there in that neighborhood to share the gospel with people. You know, in that street, we watch what goes on that street. You know, we have three gang houses on our street. Right to the right of us, the house right next door to us. I tend not to, we stop going outside so much outside in the back because you'll get high as you're walking around back there breathing the air. But, you know, I've had them throw their drug pipes over the fence and into my garden. I'm out there weeding one day, and it's like, what in the world is this? It probably, I'm sure the police showed up at their house, and they were just chucking stuff over the fence. They threw it in my yard. It's like, thanks a lot. But, you know, we have this gang to the right of us. I believe those are the mongrel mob next to us, if I remember right, or Black Power, one of the two. They're right there. Then we got a gang just up on the corner. We got a gang down on the bend in the road. Those are the real drug lords on the street, the Comancheros, and those guys are selling drugs. And the thing is, the police know this goes on all the time. This happens on our street all the time. There's police activity on our street all the time. There's nutty things going on our street all the time. Sometimes I feel like if you put a camera on the house, videotape it, put it on YouTube, I'd be a wealthy person because everybody would watch what's going on Manchester Street in New Zealand. But it's a crazy street. You know, one night, Chance come over to my house. This has been a few years, 5 years ago probably. He knocks on the door about 11 o'clock at night. And he's like, oh, Jerry, can you come out? My auntie's having a problem with the gangs right across the street from him. And I said, sure, Dawn. And so he walked out, and I said, I just got to get my shoes on that. And Dawn's like, what are you going to do? I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I'll go out there, see what happens. No big deal. So I walked out there, and you know, it's winter, it's dark, it's 11 at night, and the street light's on, and their house, you can't see me coming because their house is in the way, and I could hear them, and I walked around the corner, and those two gang members and his auntie were standing over there. The two guys looked at me, and as plain as day, I heard them say, oh no, it's the church people. It's like, oh, I started laughing. Well, that's the church people. So I say, hey, what's up, fellas? Oh, not much. They turned around after they greeted me, and then they went in the house. It was all done. I went in the house. I told Dawn. I said, that's crazy. They said, oh, it's the church people. It was all done, so I'm going to get me a patch on the back of my coat that says the church people. But, you know, that's what happens on our street. People know who we are, though. You know, we go around, we try to just love on our neighbors. We try to, when there's a need, when they need something. I mean, we've had people at our door, and this isn't a brag on us. I'm trying to say, be involved with people. And dealing with people is a dirty thing sometimes. You get dirty dealing with people. It's tough sometimes when you see what goes on, when we watch what goes on in the house next door to us with those kids, and they're knocking on our door. Do you guys have anything that we can eat? That'll break your heart. Because their parents are spending their money on drugs. And these kids are growing up in that, and they're coming and asking us for some food. And this has gone on for years, that they come and ask for stuff. For coffee, for sugar, for milk, for something to eat. But we've watched what the devil's doing to people on our own street. Folks, it breaks my heart. It should break all of our hearts to see what the devil's doing to people. But you got to take your eyes off of your own things. You know, we get so busy in building a career. Dealing with a family member right now because, you know, you get your eyes set on something where you think, I've got goals, I got to build my career. It will mean nothing in light of eternity. That business means nothing when you compare it to a soul. But we have to take our eyes off of ourselves and off of our devices and off of the things that we've got our eyes on What about people? What really matters? I'm so thankful, and I shared in the school today that people cared enough for their own community where I grew up, where they looked around and they saw the need and they got involved in the lives of people in their own community. And I'm one of those kids that rode a Sunday school bus to go to church. My wife grew up starting riding a bus going to Sunday school in Cicero, Illinois. Because people cared enough to go out and get a little bit dirty and deal with people that were hurting. And if they knew what was going on in my home, I'm sure a lot of those people would say, I don't want to go in there because that place is nuts. That guy's mad, he's mean, and I don't want to go in there, but I'm glad they didn't look at it and think of it that way, but they came because they knew we needed what they had, and that was Jesus Christ. Will you look around Reading tomorrow and look at the needs? We become involved by looking. We become involved by loving people. Jesus, he became involved by loving. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. You know, one of the things about Christ, you can read all through the New Testament, he always got involved by loving people. He was moved with compassion to heal the lepers. He's moved with compassion to heal the blind. He's moved with compassion for the multitude when they were hungry. He was always moved with compassion for people. What moves you? Are you moved by compassion? You know, I said it's not easy to love people, but we need to love people. Jesus loved me. I wasn't worth loving, but he loved me. You weren't worth loving, but he loved you. And he came to this earth when he left his home to come to this earth to die on a tree for you and me. It blows my mind to think that my Savior, my God, came to this earth to die on a cross for me. And he did that for you. And he did that for this world. You know, we often forget that, you know, a lot of people think that he, you know, you can get in the terminology of everything, and they'll say, well, he only died for the elect. When I read my Bible, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. He loves people. He wants all to be saved. It's not our job to sit there and say, well, they're worthy, they're not, whatever. He died for the world. And folks, what are we doing? Are we loving those people and bringing them to Christ? You know, some of those kids, the two boys that I'm dealing with, and I'll probably go back and forth between terminology. I'm sure when you hear me say garage, you'll figure out it's a garage. That's my New Zealand terms of garage. So they'll come over to my house, and they'll come into the garage, and I'll be out there, and I'll be working on stuff. And, you know, I'll give them a little project to do, and they'll do it, and then I've had Ashton stop, you know, about a half an hour in, he stops and he looks at me and he says, you know, Jerry, you're kind of like my dad, but you're not my dad. They're looking for people that just love them. You know, there's people right here just like Ashton and Chance and Regan and Ricky Lee, those kids that live right next door to me, that need somebody to come and knock on their door and spend a little bit of time just loving on them and caring about their soul. You know, there might be a kid in this area, there might be a family like mine that, you know, one day you could knock on a door and the kid comes to church and he gets saved and he grows up here and God calls him into the ministry to be a missionary somewhere. They didn't know I was going to do that. That God had that and for my life as I grew older. But they knew that Jesus died for Jerry, and we need to tell Jerry about Jesus. Folks, will you just love people? Will you look and see the need? We become involved by longing, and when I say longing, I said we long in prayer. Matthew 9:38 says, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, it's encouraging to hear people say to us often, you know, "We pray for you every week." We've heard that since we've been here. I've had people tell me, walked up to me, we were on the mission field from 2004 to 9. We had to come home for a family emergency, and then we didn't think we'd go back to New Zealand. In 2015, God laid it on our hearts to go back to New Zealand, and we did deputation a second time, and man, that's nuts doing it once, but we did it twice. I guess we like deputation. But, you know, as we were doing deputation the second time around, and we're going into churches, we had an older lady come up to us, and she said, "I've prayed for you every day since you were at our church the first time, back in 2000 and probably 2002 at that church. I've prayed for you every day." There's no doubt in my mind that lady still's praying for us. It encourages us when we get the little cards in the mail that say, you know, "We're praying for you." But you know, the prayer request that Jesus asked here in Matthew 9:38 is, "Pray that God will send laborers into the harvest." Are you praying not only for your missionaries, but are you praying for God to send more missionaries? I don't know if you noticed, but during COVID, one of the things that happened during COVID is a lot of missionaries came off the field. When the borders were open for them to get out, they got out. A lot of them, maybe older missionaries, wanted to come get back into the States and be around family. I mean, a lot of people, it was a nutty time. I mean, it's nutty. It's just crazy to think about what happened. But a lot of people came home. You know what that did is there's a whole lot more needs out there for people to go. And are we as a church praying for more missionaries, for God to call missionaries to go? You know, and it's not just praying for missionaries to go. I think we need to pray for those people that God's calling to surrender to go. Because God can be calling. But, you know, I know what it's like to push back against that call when God's calling you to do something and you're fighting with God that, no, I don't want to do that. Doesn't even make sense to think about the fact that you fight with God about what he wants you to do with your life, but people do. And they're like, "No, I don't want to do that." Will you pray for missionaries to go? And this is how we become, you know, we get involved in missions, by looking, by loving, by praying for missionaries to go, and doing what Christ asks us to do, and pray for people to go. And the last thing we do is we become involved by leaving, by going. And as I said, he said in verse 38 that he will send forth laborers, that he will send them forth, that people will go. You know, that missionaries, that even right here, and let me stop for a second and say, you know, everybody in a local church ought to be going to their own community. You know, right here, you ought to be going out and reaching people with the gospel. So many times we think, oh, it's the pastor's job or the assistant pastor's job or those that are in charge at the church or maybe a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or, you know, or the missionaries. It's their job to go. It's not my job to go. I can't do that. I'm thankful for a church that I grew up in that wasn't the mentality of the people that you know, that I grew up with, that it was somebody else's job to do it. They all said it's our job to do it. And we'd go up to that, you know, at the time we were probably, when I was growing up, the church was probably about 180 when I was a younger kid, when we were going to church. And, you know, there'd be on a Thursday night, 50 people would come out on a Thursday night to go out and to share the gospel with people on Thursday night. And about that many on Saturday would go out visiting their Sunday school classes or go visit kids or ride a bus to come to church. But they saw their need in their community, and they went to do something about it. That's why I believe God called missionaries out of that church. There's out of Foster Area Baptist Church right now, I think there's 6 missionaries that are out of that church serving on the mission field around the world. And it's because people in that church, you know, as you grow up around those kind of people, that their heart is to reach people, and you're watching, you're getting involved. As a teenager, I can remember going with the men at the church. They'd always take the teenage boys, they'd pair us with one of the adult men at the church, and we'd go in, and you know, we would sometimes they just tell us, hey, you just be the prayer partner. You can listen. You come in and just, as I'm talking to somebody, you pray for God to work in that person's heart. Man, they taught us. You know, one of the things that we're missing, in, I think, in churches today are teaching moments to teach young people these things along the way. I think we miss out on a lot of those opportunities. But, you know, we need to be teaching people to go, and you need to go. And, you know, you could sit and say, well, somebody else has got to make me do it. You know, it's up to us to go. You know, when I was, after I got out of my teen years and I was still running from God, and I'd met my wife and got in church, and you could look at my life on the outside and say, oh, man, they're doing everything right. I was working on the dairy farm. There was a construction business that we had, so we were working in construction, milking cows. On an average week, we'd probably work close to 60 hours a week on the farm and in the construction business. We were always working. And, you know, you could look at my life, though, and here we're doing this, and we're going to church, and we're rushing out of work on Wednesday night. We'd always be at church at 7 o'clock when church would start. We'd always be there. Dave always made sure that on Wednesdays when we're working away from home, we were always back in time, get the chores done, get the cows milked, get things done, and be up at the church at 7 o'clock. He left very little time to take a shower, and I don't think people really appreciated that at church so much, but hey, whatever. But, you know, we would go to church, and we'd get in there, and you could look at my life and say, oh, man, look at, he's here. But yet, you know, in my life, I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, tonight, there might be some people, you're here, but you're really not here. You're here, and physically, your body's here, but you're not here. You're not loving people like you ought to love them. You're not reaching people like you ought to reach them. You're telling yourself the things in your life are more important, and I've got too many things I've got to do, and I don't have time to do those things at the church. You know, you're putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. Your emphasis needs to be here at church and allow the Lord to work everything else out for you. He'll get those things done if you will give him what he requires. And tonight, would you be, you know, you might be sitting here, you might be saying, you know, I know that God's working in my heart. Maybe tonight there's somebody here that's even struggling with the fact that I know God's calling me to go. Maybe to go as a missionary, and maybe just to come out and go and visit people here in Reading. You know, you don't start by just saying all of a sudden, I'm going to go to the mission field. You know, God calls people that are busy reaching people right here in Reading. He's going to use the people that are busy reaching other people right here with the gospel before he ever sends you overseas, because it's like a training field right here in your church to prepare you to go to a place like New Zealand or Australia or Ireland, or whatever field God calls you to. But you have to be involved right here. And are you willing to answer the call? You know, many times I would come to church and I'd rush in and I'd sit down and I'd enjoy the missions conferences, and, you know, I would enjoy the spending time with the missionaries. We had a lot of missionaries come stay at our home. It was always interesting. Man, I got stories about all them nuts that stayed in our house. I'm probably the same kind of nut that stayed in somebody else's house. But, you know, I got all kinds of stories about missionaries staying in our home. But, you know, God used those missionaries that stayed in our home to touch our heart for the need in the world. Folks, you need to be busy reaching people with the gospel. Tonight, will you look and see the need? Tonight, will you love people? Tonight, will you pray that God will call people to go? And would you leave if God called you? Whatever your need is tonight, I'm going to turn this over to Pastor in just a moment, but if God's working on your heart tonight, do business with him. Don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and then just oh, the service is over, it's time to get out of here. I've done that far too many times through my life. Don't make that habit in your life. When God's working, do business with Him and allow Him to do His work in your life and change you into what He wants you to be. Let's close in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can meet together this evening. Father, I thank you for this church and, Father, their emphasis this month on missions. And Father, I thank you for the young people here in this church and, Father, just being able to spend time with them today in their chapel service. Lord, I pray that you would use those young people in your service. Father, I pray that not only the young people, but you'd use us adults in your service as well. Father, I pray that tonight if there's people here that have got their focus on their own things in life and they are not paying any attention to what's going on in the world, Father, I pray that tonight they would make that change in their life and that they would look and see the need in the world. Father, what the real need is in the world. Many times we think the need is a new politician. The need is Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that tonight that people would see the need to love people in their own community the way that Christ would love those people. Father, I pray that tonight there'd be people here that would answer the question of am I longing in prayer? Am I praying for people to go? And Father, if not, that they would pray for you to call more people to go. And Father, tonight, if there's one holding on and just saying, you know what, I know God's working in my heart, and yet they're holding on saying, I'm not willing to go right now. Father, I pray that they would surrender to leave and go. Father, whatever it is, and Father, tonight, if there is one here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, the greatest need they have tonight is to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if that is their need, I pray tonight they would come to know Christ as their Savior as well. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
With head bowed and eyes closed, we'll have an invitation time tonight. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about giving your life in the area of missions work. Would there be anyone in the room this evening? I'd ask if you would to raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you that maybe God is speaking to your heart about going to the mission field. Is there anyone here tonight that maybe say, God is speaking to my heart about this area of missions, about surrendering my life to wherever, maybe nothing specific, but I'd be willing if God called me. I believe that God might be calling me in the area of missions. Is there anyone in the room tonight? Love to pray for you. We do have a great missions work here, don't we? Much to do. The harvest is plenteous. It's all around us. You don't have to travel far to find souls that need Jesus Christ.